It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, we are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday. Well, that came out weird. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3, The Game. I am your host, Jeff Paul, and back in his seat. It's good to see you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
My partner, the Paunch to my John, the Chewy to my Han Solo. The great Austin Danforth is back. What's happening, Austin?
Dude, it's been a minute.
It's been like a month since we've sat in this booth together and done this show.
And we've been talking back and forth, but we just haven't been, you know, in the presence.
Tis the season for you and I, though.
I know.
So schedules get tight here, and I hate not doing the show, though. I really do miss it when I don't do it. And I miss it.
I mean, too.
I know. But my first show that I missed 3 straight weeks. And then I come back last week.
I was there.
I know you were. And did a great job, by the way. Did a really good job. So today we're back. I'm looking forward to chatting with you. A lot to talk about. But there's been some crazy things going on in the world of sports, huh?
It's been a bit of a week. I think we're well timed to have a good session here and hash out some of it. I mean, you Yankees, guys, hey,
yeah, here we go.
First time since 2012. Welcome back.
It's crazy, right, to think about that. As a Yankee fan myself, I didn't even realize it, but when I saw them clinch, they clinched a couple nights ago. Michael Kay was saying the first time since 2012, and I'm thinking, wow, that's an amazing stat for an organization that's been as consistent as they have been since 1996. I think that they have not won an AL East championship
since
2012. This says a lot about the Red Sox as well.
Yeah.
But wow, the Yankees finally back on top in the AL East.
You guys are back on your perch.
Yeah.
See how long that lasts.
Perch. Here we go. There's my jab.
And I mean, then, you know, between our two football teams, the Patriots and the Giants.
Yeah. Two ends of the spectrum, by the way.
Different ends
there's
of the
like,
spectrum.
There's, like, there's two spectrums in the NFL. There's where the Giants are, which is way, way over there. And then there's the Patriots that are, you know, there's butterflies and birds and all the sunshine. Where the Giants are in, like, you know, a hurricane.
Yeah.
Two ends of the spectrum.
So, I mean, you out Eli, Daniel.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that today.
And then in Foxborough, it's out AB.
Yeah, big news. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, which a lot of you do every week, so keep it coming. 802-655-6672. Before we get into all that national stuff, and we got a lot to talk about, I do want to talk breakdown, Austin. The fall sports season is rolling now. I mean, we are literally about a week away from the midpoint of the fall sports season, which is just insane to me when you think about how fast time goes by. You know, all of a sudden we're looking like we're pushing October here, but there's a lot of cool stories happening in the world of fall sports in Vermont. Why don't you update everybody on what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a little weary after another Friday night of football. Up late writing about last night's game, Rutland at Essex. The Raiders came into town, pulled out a 17-7 victory that was a shutout until I think it was about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Rutland, I think it has cemented themselves in sort of that top four in Division One, as Alex has in his power rankings on the Free Press website. Number one, Middlebury. They took care of business in Hartford last night. They got a couple really, really explosive running backs in Tyler Buxton, who I think ran 2 touchdowns in from over 50 yards last night. Then also returned an interception 53 yards for a score. That game was only 7-0 at halftime. It was 7-3 going into the fourth quarter before, you know, Middlebury did what Middlebury does and pulled away real quick. Elsewhere, you got Burton. They're in action today. We'll see what they can do. I think they have Mount Mansfield.
What a story Burton is, right? So Burton was a powerhouse in Division Two, and very rarely do you see a team go from Division Two to Division
One
and then be in a position to push for a championship. But that's exactly what Burton's doing.
Yeah, and it says a lot about the way they built that program in Manchester the last decade. New coach this year, was an assistant last year. He's
I did not know that. Wow.
Father of the quarterback there, Joey McCoy. And Joey's having an incredible year.
McCoy. Is there a better college, a better high school quarterback name than Joey McCoy? That's my question.
His brother Jay McCoy was pretty good too.
Jay McCoy's pretty good too. As well.
And I think the best part about it, I mean, it wears number 34.
As a quarterback. Perfect.
So, Byron Burton's doing the same thing. And then hard to overlook St. Johnsbury. We were just talking before the show. They roll into Colchester and just throttle the Lakers. I think it was 49-7 or somewhere in that neck. I'm a little rusty. I'm a little weary. Still drinking my coffee. Yeah. But
by the way, it smells delicious. By the way, that
dude,
coffee,
French press coffee.
I have to say, I mean, I'm looking for is that a pumpkin latte spice or something? But the aroma that it's bringing in here is just spectacular. Or maybe that's you over there.
Yeah, that's my coffee.
So I'm giving you all the credit for the way it smells.
You can taste my coffee. It's damn good.
Well, I bet.
I got good beans.
This is maple pecan.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm. Well, this for the first time in the 4.5 years I've done this show, this studio actually smells good. Which is good. So I appreciate that, Aaron.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate that. Thank you, both of you. Well done today.
But to get back to the football, St. Jay, they are humming right along for Rich Alercio.
Really
they look as explosive and dominant as anybody on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I think they've been maybe cleaner than everybody on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Which is I'm not surprising, but a little surprising maybe, if that makes sense. So you're looking at the football landscape, and those are sort of the big four to look out for. In D2, Brattleboro moved down as BBA went up. Brattleboro has been unstoppable in Division II. They got a dual threat quarterback there, Tyler Millerick, who he's been lighting it up in D2. They've taken on and beaten pretty soundly some of the top challengers there, like U32, Bellows Falls. Football, we're getting into the time of year now where these teams will face each other.
Yeah.
Of those crew, I think only St. Jay and Rutland faced each other, and that was week one.
And it was a great game, by the way.
It was arguably probably the game of the year.
And St. Jay actually came back from a fairly large deficit down at Rutland to win that football game, which probably started getting them feeling that comfort feeling.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a game that Alercio will circle on his schedule to say this is when his team may have turned the corner to become the dominant team that it is right now.
Absolutely. And that might have been week two, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Because I think Rutland beat CVU in week one.
Yeah.
But in soccer, I mean, you look at the establishment seems to be holding serve there in your line of work with CVU's unbeaten. BHS is back in
very, very talented.
Very
team.
Good form. They're 6-0. They're scoring a bunch of goals. They're looking really good. A lot of seniors, a lot of juniors there for the Seahorses and sort of capitalizing on the promise they've had the last couple of years. Your team's right in the mix at 5-1, is it now?
We are, yes.
Took care of business yesterday at BFA. Essex is tough. It sounds like you got an interesting, tricky little one with them coming up next week.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about our league right now, girls soccer, the whole conference is very talented. I mean, you haven't mentioned South Burlington. That's one of
right.
the best teams.
Oh, God, yeah.
They haven't had a lot of luck yet. I know they've had a lot of opportunities to finish, haven't done that yet. That's another dominant team. So when you're looking at girls soccer right now, obviously, I'm a bystander here as the head coach at Colchester, which I'm very proud of our kids. Graduating the number of kids we did last year we've continued our culture to play the level that we have. But we've got some challenges this week, and this Essex team that we play on Monday is all that. And what Kevin Barber has done with that program, that around, is unbelievable. So in my 19 years of coaching girls soccer, I'm not sure I can remember the Metro Conference being as talented as what I see right now with every team that's in the conference.
Right. You got like 5 or 6 teams that can legit play and give anybody a really good game.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, usually there's 2, 3, maybe 4, but like to get that extra like couple layers of depth, Essex is one of those examples. South Burlington, I mean, I think, I forget the stat, Corey Payson, their head coach, texted me yesterday. I think they'd scored one goal from 52 shots in a span of like 52 shots. They hadn't gotten it inside the frame.
Yeah.
Which was just brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
But they came back to beat MMU yesterday, so I think they're back above 500. Field hockey, surprising a little bit, where I thought Colchester was going to be our team to beat this year.
Mm-hmm.
They stumble a little bit out of the gate. South Burlington looks like they might be world beaters again. They were 4-0. They've lost 2 in a row, which Alex and I were going back in the Free Press office the other day. We don't know the last time Angie Susie's Wolves lost 2 in a row. Going back probably 4, 5, 6 years, the number one team in my power rankings this week, Mount Abraham, D2 powerhouse. They beat Mount Mansfield. They beat South Burlington this week. They're undefeated. I think they're 4-0-2. And they play in that Metro field hockey schedule, so they're always battle tested. And right now, it looks like they have the talent to beat just about anybody too.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun this season so far in fall sports. And so I'm telling you right now, I say it all the time: if you're living in a community that's got one of these teams, we didn't even get to boys soccer yet, and there's all kinds of great stuff happening there. Get out and root on these kids. I mean, the work ethic they put in. Just remember, their summers end before everybody else's summers do. You know, they're going to work early. They work in the off season, and come on out and root on these kids. It's been a tremendous season so far, you know, and I can't listen. I mean, I'm going to say it. I mean, I'm so proud of my Lakers. I mean, I can't say enough about this group of kids. I mean, I say it every year when I talk about my teams, but just a very special group. So if you're out in the Colchester, you want to come out and support some great kids, come check out our Lakers. But I do want to get to the phone lines because we do have a call, and he's been waiting very patiently, and he wants to talk about his Jets and the Patriots. But Jan from Underhill's on the line. Jan, as usual, we can't wait to hear what you're going to say, but thank you so much for your patience, my man.
Oh, of course. Well, I appreciate the conversation. Local high school sports at this time of year, it's a great time of year to be a Vermonter. Just the weather, everything about it. I'm with Aaron. I'm heading to Dunkin' right now. I'm going to get a large iced pumpkin spice and sip on that pretty much all afternoon.
But I didn't see you, Jan. Jan, I didn't see you as a pumpkin spice kind of guy, though. I'm going to say that before we go any further.
It's literally like a 3-week span. There's a window for pumpkin spice. Gotcha. I'm not really a pumpkin spice guy, but, you know, it's a thing. It's
tis the season.
Like Vermont high school sports. Like, I'm into it for 3 hot weeks, and then I got to get out.
All right.
So I just want to commend the Patriots on what they... I mean, I'm a Jets fan. I love to crush the Patriots every time they do anything wrong, and they very rarely do. But at this point, the move that they're making is an opposite Jets move by cutting ties with this guy and making a class move and just saying, you know what, we don't need the distraction. I really appreciate the fact that they're going to that. You know, you can't have these guys around if they're going to cause such a distraction, if they're going to be disrespectful to women, even if it's just the court of public opinion, they don't need it. They don't need it, and I love the fact that they're making the move the way that they are.
Yeah, I mean, Jan, I agree with you, and we talked on the show last week, and Austin wasn't here, but you can chime in on this. I mean, I wondered why the Patriots, with everything the Patriots have, and the way the NFL is constructed right now, where it really is, when we talk about the have and have-nots, we have to say it's the Patriots and the have-nots.
Yeah.
Is basically what we have. Why the Patriots would even bring in that type of potential distraction anyway, you know, except for the fact that I think there was some, you know, it's Belichick trying, you know, in the Patriot organization who has proven over the years that they can change athletes' mentalities. They can change the dynamic that they bring. We saw it with Randy Moss. We've seen it with other players in New England. But I agree with you. I think this is a football team that doesn't need the distraction. They don't need AB to win, and they made the right decision. The real question would be, would any other team in the league make this decision until something has come out where he's proven, you know, to be guilty? And that would be the next question. It'll be interesting to see if anybody signs him from this point forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the disturbing part is that's a team that's like on the fringe, like a team like the Bills, if they had Antonio Brown minus the distraction piece, it put him over the top.
No question.
Because they've got a good defense, a good young quarterback. They're legit. And like an X-factor weapon like that could put him over the top, but I hope they don't. I hope they don't make that move. Before I get off the phone, too, I just want to say congratulations to the Yankees. You know, quality season. I hope that they get to the World Series. They've got a great team. They've dealt with all the injuries. But also, I want you guys to take note of the fact that Pete Alonso hit his 50th home run last night. The Mets, they're a garbage fire, but maybe we've got a future.
They're not a garbage fire, Jan. You've got to be happy with the grit this team and the resilience this team showed in the second half of the year. I mean, you know, it took some time to get them rolling, but you got some good young players there. You still got some of the best arms in baseball in the National League. You got a team for the future. There's no question about that, I think.
But it's the Mets. Keep in mind,
it's a good point. It's a good point. Jan, thanks for the call, my man. Have a great day and enjoy your pumpkin spice.
You too.
All right. Interesting points by Jan, obviously, and obviously as a Patriot fan, Austin, and what's your take on that?
I mean, it made all the sense in the world when they got Antonio Brown. You're capitalizing on a guy who would be undervalued at that point. You're taking away a weapon that other teams could have. The baggage they knew he had at that point, that was a great buy.
Sure.
But the baggage he quickly acquired after becoming a Patriot,
more baggage,
made that untenable. And it distracted from the mission they were trying to do. I don't know that there was any. I mean, it seemed like he was trying to mesh pretty well with the team and had a pretty good, you know, debut when he got on the field. But I think it ultimately cut bait. You know, I think it probably financially it made some sense there too. So you can't hate on the move to get rid of Antonio Brown at this point.
Not. Yeah, and I don't think you can hate on the move, and I agree with you. I think when they signed him before all these allegations of the sexual harassment and all that stuff that's came out, I thought it was a great move by the Patriots, and obviously Antonio Brown's going to run to New England because that's the best team out there, and you know that's where he wanted to go. But if you look at Antonio Brown overall, it's just sad, but he's a product of what I think superstar athletes in some capacities have become. I mean, they live life differently and everybody else does in some capacities. And this is Antonio Brown went from being one of the elite wide receivers in football. I don't remember the early days of Antonio Brown being successful in Pittsburgh, him being this way. Somehow he became somebody else. And it's unfortunate for him, but I do want to get real quick to the Green City Garage poll question today. You can go to Twitter at 101.3 The Game and answer the question. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, Vermont. We're going to get to AB later on, but the question today in the next segment is going to be about my New York Giants and the big decision to bring Daniel Jones into the fold this week. The question is this week is, have the Giants made the right decision to move on from Eli Manning? Yes or no? Go to Twitter right now at 101.3 The Game and tell us what you think. When we come back, it's Big Blue time, and I'm going to tell you what I think about the New York Giants move. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
655-6672 is the number to call to join us today. 802-655-6672, or text us live on the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 655-6672. Going to get to the Giants here in a second, but we were talking about some local sports stuff. We hit on girls' soccer, football, talked field hockey, didn't touch on the boys' side of soccer. Austin, what's going on there?
Yeah, the story to keep an eye on there is CVU not allowing anybody to score yet. The Redhawks are 6-0. They're in action right now, actually, against also unbeaten South Burlington. Looks like, according to my boy Alex Abrami, CVU has a 1-0 lead early in that one. They're right there. But top of D1, you have all these teams that are usually in the mix. CVU, unbeaten, 6-0. SB, unbeaten. BFA, they're 4-0-1 themselves. Then you have some of the heavy hitters there. Essex, St. Jay, Burlington, each with just one loss. That's a juicy top half of D1 boys soccer. Obviously Redhawks are the team to beat. They went to St. Jay and took care of business there a couple days ago. They're the reigning champs and they got it rolling.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be an interesting year, but there's a lot of teams out there that can do some damage. So like I just said a second ago, get out there and root these kids on. It's the best time of year. I mean, listen, you just heard the weather gal just tell us it's going to be 80 degrees today. I mean, when someone tells you in the end of September it's going to be 80 degrees, I'm all in with that.
I'm going to be at UVM men's soccer tonight. I won't need a heavy jacket.
No.
That's awesome.
You're not going to need any jacket. You're going to need
probably
a light
get away with
t-shirt.
Shorts. Yeah.
Get away with it. Of course you're going to wear shorts. It's going to be 80 degrees, buddy.
Well, the rule of if you're standing around and it gets colder, it's always going to feel at least 10 degrees colder than that. So
interesting. I've never heard that before, but I'm going
to
write that down.
That's how I process like temperature when I have to go cover something.
Right.
Say it's going to be 50 degrees or 55,
yeah,
but I'm standing around just watching stuff. It's going to feel like 45.
Write that down, folks. I'm going to try to do that next time. Usually I'm like,
so if it's 55, dress for 45, you'll be good.
Okay, thanks for that tip. Okay, let's get to some football, the NFL here. The Giants this week made the announcement after the
you're bouncing off your chair over there.
Well, first of all, this chair is like, I need a safety harness on this chair. It's so high. I don't know what's going on over here with the VMT guys. Okay, I mean, I don't, who sits in this seat over here during the VMT?
I think it's our friend Kurt Wright.
So Kurt Wright, you got this seat. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm 7.5 feet high here. I mean, I'm way up here, so I'm a little uncomfortable.
You need a belay to get back down.
I need some help getting down. I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to ask you to take my hand to get myself down here when we leave. But anyway, let's get to the Giants move here. I think it's a brilliant move. I guess what I don't get about the whole piece here is the organization is getting destroyed in social media. Former players have come out and attacked the organization. We know, you know, this seems as if the city of New York dislikes Dave Gettleman. They don't like the head coach, Shermer. I mean, OCU Mignore came out this morning and posted something about, how disappointed he is in the Giants' decision to bench Eli Manning. Anyone that hasn't watched Giants football for the last 4 or 5 or 6 years should not have an opinion on this, because it has been a dumpster fire in the offensive end of this field for a long time. And what's happened to me is that Eli Manning, and I'm a Giants fan, everyone knows that, a player that I want to revere, and I should revere. I mean, he's been a great pro. He's been a good Giant, won 2 Super Bowls. I mean, during two, and the thing about those two Super Bowls that make them even more epic is he beat Tom Brady twice, one when they were undefeated. And you can, and I'm not trying to make a joke because
I know.
You're talking about the iconic organization in football for the last 20 something years in the New England Patriots. There's been two teams that have beaten them, with the Eagles beating them not too long ago. But in their prime, when Brady was in the middle of this and a young player, I mean, Eli's beaten him twice. Now, I know that they're just two drives, but they're two iconic drives. So you want to revere Eli Manning. If you ask me, if anyone's done wrong here, is Eli's hung on so long, I feel as if Eli's almost held the Giants hostage in some capacity, and the organization's tried to do the right thing by him for a long time. They pay him. They give him the job. It's time now. You got your guy. You drafted your guy. Let him play. And I'm telling you, for the first time in a long time, I'm excited about watching some New York Giants football.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think Eli has sort of held the organization hostage, because when you think about it, he's a quarterback who was the face of two iconic Super Bowl performances. Whether he's entirely deserving of that or not, he had two great moments and two great Super Bowls. And so he's been kind of the face of those moments in Giants history. So that's not a guy you can just go and bench out of nowhere. It's really hard to take that guy off his pedestal, because he's going to still be on that pedestal for most of your fans. So he was kind of the one who had to make that choice, and he didn't. And as a result, that offense has been mediocre for a while.
Aaron, that's not giving it too much credit. It's been abysmal. I mean, this is a football team that can't move the foot.
Outside Saquon, it's been abysmal.
It's been abysmal. That's what I'm saying. And what you're seeing, even last week, when he is successful, he's uncomfortable in the pocket. The ball doesn't come out very well. I mean, it's time. And again, this isn't a shot at the man or whether he's been a good football player. I mean, he's been a great football player. He's been an amazing pro. He's been the perfect person to be the quarterback in New York. He is an Iron Man. I mean, you talk about never being injured, and what has he played since 2016?
This is his 16th season.
I mean, the reality is. He's, you know, if it wasn't benched by McAdoo, which was ridiculous. I mean, if you're going to bench him, you don't bench him for Geno Smith a couple of years ago.
That was garbage, yeah.
You know, but you look at this guy overall, and yes, I mean, he's been an iconic player. I get it. I think he has been an iconic player. Do I deem him being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? No. I think he's been a 500 quarterback his whole career. I mean, I argue when Bernie was on the show with me, he used to get mad at me. Oh, my God. But if the Giants just stuck to their guns and kept Phillip Rivers when they drafted him in 2004, this team would probably have two or three more championships.
I don't know about that.
I do. I do.
I absolutely agree.
Phillip Rivers had LT in his backfield and Sean Merriman, one of the best DNs for a period of time. Those were good teams, and he couldn't get them to the AFC Championship.
Interestingly enough, though, the peak of that period was 2010. They were one of the greatest offenses of all time, statistically. They actually, the whole reason they didn't make it to the playoffs that year was their special teams was so bad, they actually lost them, like, seven games.
And I don't look at quarterbacks like that and say, well, he had LT or the offense was great or whatever. I look at it in terms of what he brings and the passion he brings. I mean, he just brings a passion to the field that I think the Giants have missed in the era without Michael Strahan and those guys that were so passionate. Eli just doesn't have that type of leadership ability, and I think that goes a long way. And I think Phillip Rivers overall is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. I really do. We have a text on the text line that says, what is Eli's winning percentage? I think that he's a 500 quarterback.
He's exactly 500.
Yeah, and is he a Hall of Famer? I would argue that he might be a Hall of Famer just because of the two moments that he's had in those Super Bowls and because of the length that he's played. I wouldn't say that he's not a Hall of Famer, but I would argue that he's not an elite quarterback that should still be the quarterback of the New York Giants.
I'd love to unpack the Phillip Rivers stuff we just dipped a toe in a minute ago.
Sure.
But Eli, what was the text there?
What is Eli's winning percentage? Yeah, I think he's 500, right?
He finished in 232 starts. He was 116 and 116.
Yeah.
So what a time to pull the plug. You don't go out with a losing record.
Yeah, I agree.
I think... The Dan Patrick Show was talking about this earlier this week. Has Eli played himself out of the Hall of Fame? Or the way his career has turned since last winning the Super Bowl, these last 4 or 5 years, has he hung on too long? And I think he has.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
I mean, if he had gone out after 10 or 12 years and just like the thing I don't get, like you look at him and you see he's not the fiery guy. He's super, super mellow. You know, he's even keeled as they come.
Very even keeled. Too much.
Why is he sticking around? Like, does he not sense his abilities waning? Is he just, I'll just keep doing this till they stop paying me. Like, is it that sort of nonchalant? Because it doesn't look like he's fiery for the game. It doesn't look like there's a crazy competitive drive. It just looks like, well, I'm supposed to be a quarterback, so I'm going to try and be a quarterback. And to the detriment of the Giants in the last 4 or 5 years.
What's
he getting out of this other than money? Like, I mean, football isn't healthy. No one can. Right? And anybody that sticks up for tackle football can't say it's healthy.
Especially on teams that he's played on the last 5 or 6 years.
And I mean, he's been an Iron Man.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he hasn't taken shots.
No, he has. And well, I mean, you say this, and that's why I don't understand why the Giant organization and Gettleman is getting beat up like this. I mean, look, you got to give Dave Gettleman and you got to give Shermer a couple years, two or three, or four, I mean, at least a couple years, at least Gettleman. I mean, Shermer, whatever, but at least Gettleman, give him a chance to get this right. I mean, this isn't a quick fix here. Now, the good news about the NFL, as we talked about before, is that it's the Patriots and everybody else. Like, you can turn the script fairly quickly here.
Yeah.
And if you think you have the guy, and I said this before the season started, he should have been the starter week one. If you think you got your guy, you draft him, let him play. If he is a mobile quarterback, you think he's your next franchise quarterback, let him go out there and get it done. And I will say this, in 2004, when Eli came on the scene, the Giants were either 5-4 or 6-3. And they decided to go away from Kurt Warner, who ended up going to Arizona and taking that team to high spots, and they went to a Super Bowl again. Kurt Warner wasn't the end of his career.
Will be a Hall of Famer.
Will be a Hall of Famer. The Giants sat Kurt Warner on a team that was in a position to go to the playoffs for Eli Manning. Was that the right decision then? Was that the right decision to sit Kurt Warner on a team that was 5-4 or 6-3 to let Eli Manning play? Yes, it was, because he was the future. So you're going to tell me right now that Eli Manning, who's played for 16 years and has been this average for this long, and I'm sorry, Eli, but it's driving me nuts, and you're going to give the organization in this GM a bunch of crap because you're trying to better this organization for the future? That's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, and to your point, the last time the decision to make Eli, to bench Eli was made, the reason they got crushed was they didn't have a quarterback of the future. They had Geno Smith.
It's true.
They have their quarterback of the future now, so there's really no excuse to be sitting around with this quarterback who has underperformed for years now.
And let him learn. Even if they lose every game, let him learn. Like, let him have this season to figure it out. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
With how low the expectations are for that team, there really isn't that much pressure, even in New York, because everyone expects them to be a dumpster fire.
I will say that in a normal world in New York, yes, but with everything that they're talking about right now, there's a ton of pressure on this kid now. Because the media loves Eli, they want him on the field, you got former players coming out and saying, you got even Kurt Warner coming out and saying this week about what are they doing benching Eli Manning. It's like, come on, like, look, this organization has to stand up right now and change its dynamic, change its culture. This is one of the proudest organizations in the NFL, and they're a laughing stock. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He comes out tomorrow and gets a job done against a very average Tampa team. You know, it goes and get. I mean, I understand the defense has its own problems, but if he can go out and score some points, take advantage of his abilities, even against Dallas when he played. Everyone said, oh, he fumbled. I don't care if he fumbled. He moved the team down the field. He got outside the pocket. He rushes a little bit. This is a good offensive line that's in front of him. This is a chance for him to really shine. I'm excited to see what the Giants bring to the table.
And he's interesting.
I agree.
Bottom line, he's far more interesting to watch than Eli Manning. Even if they're not successful, you will not be able to say they're not at least a more interesting offense to watch.
And the future's starting now. And I think as a Giants fan, that you got to find that, and it's got to start today.
What amazes me about the reaction by these former players coming to Eli's, stick up for Eli, everything I've heard from people, like real people that just watch the Giants regularly and have watched the first couple weeks, there's nothing there that says Eli should be the quarterback.
No question.
Like, if you have another option, go that way.
Agreed.
Like, it's been detrimental to the team.
And let me just say this, Austin. There's nothing that Eli Manning's done the last 5 years that says he should be the quarterback of this football team. Now, to your point, Aaron, which was great, is that the Giants, they signed Laletta a couple years ago, and they signed the kid. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. They actually went to the Jets. They released him when Gettleman took over. Kid from California. It'll come to me in a second. So they did draft some guys late in rounds you thought maybe could be the heir apparent eventually, but they didn't have anybody they could just plug in there and say, with guys like Odell Beckham Jr. and the expectation. And the team went to the playoffs a few years ago, if you remember.
Right, yeah.
Before they all went on the boat and then got blown out by Green Bay, as typical New York Giant way. Odell
Beckham. Curse of the boat.
Yeah, of course. You know, but look, it's a team that's in turmoil. It's a team that was going the completely wrong direction. If you watched last week, the offense was abysmal. It's time to make this change. And if you're a Giant fan today, or if you're a fan of any team, this is happening, you got to be excited about what's happening.
Yeah, and we were talking about Phillip Rivers. I'll loop back to Phillip Rivers because that, like, those two guys, they were, I mean, they're going to be compared to against each other basically, you know, for the rest of their lives because of how they ended up where they ended up. Yeah. I've just never liked what Phillip Rivers offers. I don't like watching him throw football. I don't think at the end of the day his teams have accomplished enough. He hasn't performed exceptionally well when he's had those big chances to get his team somewhere else. So I think to say you'd have more than the two Super Bowls Eli got you guys with the Giants is a little preposterous. I think you probably would have gotten two. I think two is about the number. If Eli was a little better, maybe a third, but probably not. Like, I think to say that the Phillip Rivers could have gotten more for the Giants is a little bit of a stretch.
Eli Manning has never been more than a 500 quarterback, and he had made two iconic plays. Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning is. In the years that Eli was successful with the weapons he had, I'm telling you right now, Phillip Rivers would have won more championships with that team. And a perfect example is that is the year that Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg and was out for the year. That was a Giant
team.
That's
always funny to me.
That was a Giant team that was on its way. That was the best team in football, but when they lost their best receiver, Eli couldn't get him there. And Phillip Rivers, I think, could have gotten him there with that defense and the rest of the weapons around them. But that's a debate that you and I can have all the time, and there's a lot of people that feel the same way, but Phillip Rivers at the helm of the Giants would have brought them more championships, in my opinion. But we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, it's out in left field time. And I'm intrigued with this one because I could use one of these. Don't go anywhere.
Now back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
You see, I'm so out of I haven't done it in so long here. I messed up where I was a segment. Out in left field is a segment away.
We're 15 minutes from out in left field.
We've got a whole... I mean, I've been out in left field right now. We got a whole other segment here to deal with.
Well, the show has been flying by, so I'm not shocked.
Yeah, and let me just say this. Like, where this seat is, I just want to, like, the air up here is a lot...
Oh, lightheaded.
I am. So I blame Kurt Wright for this because his seat is like, I'm so far up here. You know what I mean?
If it gets too uncomfortable, just grab the table.
That's right. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it is a lot cooler up here. I don't know if you've noticed that.
You're going to need a hat.
Freezing. that little tip about the out in left field segment coming up. But anyway, we talked a little about the football Giants. We had a little argument about whether Phillip Rivers would have been a better fit for the Giants. I just believe it would have been.
I don't.
You know, go ahead.
My list of stats didn't change your mind at all, Austin?
No. Because ultimately, they had that incredible year. But the other times he had chances,
but they didn't capitalize against the New England Patriots. You know, in a situation in the middle of the time. I agree with that. No, I agree. But I think you put Phillip Rivers with the talent levels that the Giants had around them and the defense that the Giants had and just the NFC way back then and the running. The Giant dynamic was different than anything San Diego had, in my opinion. I'm not even looking, and I can't, that's not even fair to compare teams. I just look at the players, you know, and what they bring, and the toughness that he brings. Eli brings toughness. It's a different kind of toughness. And I just think quarterback-wise, I think you're looking at two guys that are apples and oranges. They're not the same.
Is it too indelicate to say, like, Eli's brand of toughness is, like, mental Jell-O?
Well, no,
he's never gonna get absorbed.
Drives you nuts as a Giant. I don't know if I'm the only. Am I the only Giant fan that feels the way that just drives you nuts when you want? When you look at Brady in the sideline, he's firing his guys up. He's ready to go. He's getting the crowd going.
That's who he is.
But I know. But I think you need that out of a leader sometimes, especially during times that are tough. And I think when the Giants lost Strahan and they lost that passion that when he left. You know, in the Tux and the OCU Menores and those guys in the defense that did that stuff and got this team galvanized. You remember the last drive against the Patriots, the famous thing of Strahan getting in front of that offensive line and saying, hey, fellas, you know, one touchdown is all we need. You know what I mean? Let's go. You know, that's what you need. And when you have an organization like the Giants that doesn't have the pieces to win, you need a quarterback that can lead you. And Eli Manning's game isn't doing it. You got to find a way to get it done. And I just always believe that you got to find a way to get the best out of people. And Eli just doesn't do that. And I think that's a problem for a team that doesn't have anybody else to do it.
I liked your Jell-O analogy because I feel like that is kind of the way Eli Manning is. He doesn't give punches. He just takes them. And he keeps taking them. And you can never punch him out, but he's not going to hit you back.
And you respect him. You respect what he's done. You respect the fact that he's been a quarterback in this league this long and has only missed one game. And that was because a coach sat him.
Right.
That's amazing in today's NFL.
And Eli looks so slightly phased all the time that he's actually never phased. Like, he just looks
classic Eli
that,
face, right?
He has that glazed over face.
All the time.
His face during warmups is the same as like a basketball player shooting a free throw to win a game. Just like terror.
Light. It's like just blah mixed with light terror.
Rams fan Ralph just said. Rams fan Ralph just joined us here on the Town Fair Tire text line. I said, so if that's the case, is Philip Rivers deserved to be in the Hall of Fame more than Manning? No, I think I think Eli Manning has earned the right just based on the fact of what he did in the Super Bowl. I mean, but I think when you're asking about my opinion, I think Philip Rivers is a better quarterback. I think Eli Manning's had bigger moments and he's won championships. I mean, I think that has to be respected. I think Eli Manning's done a ton. I mean, look, he's missed one game in 16 years. I mean, he was one of the faces. I think he deserved. I think some of. But let me say this with I keep rambling. But to Dan Patrick's point, did he stay too long to kind of play himself out of it? Because anybody that's watched the Giants the last 5 or 6 years, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. But you got to separate that when you talk about what he's done in his career. But I think Eli deserves to be in the Hall of Fame over Philip Rivers. I think if the roles were reversed, you would have seen a guy in Philip Rivers that would go down as one of the all-time greats in the NFL. I think he would have gone down as one of the all-time winners in the NFL because of the teams that he played for in New York. And I think the Giants would be in a better place. I really do. But we'll see where it goes from here because now it's Danny Dimes, which you don't like too much.
I don't like that. How about he does something before we start giving him nicknames? Philip Rivers, probably the best analogy would be Dan Marino. Dan Marino, like with the caveat that Dan made one.
Super Bowl. I mean, Dan Marino's a lot better than Philip Rivers.
Well, but the same sort of career. Like, they're just putting up numbers and making plays and consistently one of the several best quarterbacks in the league, you're saying, but didn't get there.
Then if you agree with it, if you believe that you can compare Dan
I'm saying
Marino,
I don't think he is Dan Marino.
But if he's like Dan Marino, then you got to agree that he should. If he was the quarterback in New York, the Giants probably would have had a little more success.
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Because you don't have to be Dan Marino on a better team to win a Super Bowl. You can be less than that and still win. I mean, case in point, Eli Manning.
But with Eli, I was listening to Pardon My Take earlier this week podcast. Yeah. I forget the specifics, but the gist of what they were saying was at no time has Eli really ever been a top five quarterback.
Agreed.
I think his best season, he had the third best overall stats for quarterbacks. He's like consistently been about as high as eighth, usually around 12th, somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And lately he's been below that. So how does that ever sound like a Hall of Fame, like Hall of Great?
Sure.
Quarterback. It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
He has 2 4-game stretches that he was the best quarterback in football.
And 2 iconic drives. I mean, he has 2 iconic drives, and that's what the mecca of football is, right? It's winning championships and having the fortitude to have to put together a game-winning drive in a situation. I think against the team that he did it against and the situations he did it, I think that could put him in the Hall of Fame.
Could I be really mean and say, what if Trent Dilfer won another Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, again, comparing Trent Dilfer to Eli Manning is tough because Trent, Trent Dilfer had a... You know,
he played for a lot of bad teams.
Agreed, but he didn't, you know, I don't know. I think Trent Dilfer had a good game against a bad football team in the Giants in the Super Bowl.
He was good enough to get a team to a championship that was defense heavy. If he did it a second time, we're talking about almost the same quarterback.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you might be right. But did he do it in those situations? Again, you didn't just do it against some decent team from the AFC. It wasn't like... You know, if you played an average team or a team that came out of nowhere, you did it against the New England Patriots twice. You did it with the final ball time you had the ball. Mm-hmm. You got it done against Tom Brady. I mean, in this era, when you beat Tom Brady and you beat the Patriots, that defines who you are. I mean, for years, to this day right now, when someone gives me a hard time about the Giants, I will look up and I will say, hey, man, I mean, he beat the Pats twice.
It's funny how that's flipped. In the last 5 years, as the Patriots tacked on 3 more Super Bowls,
I just got a really cool text. I don't mean to interrupt you. I just got one said if number 10 wasn't playing in New York, he would have been replaced 5 years ago, and that's probably true as well.
Mm-hmm.
My father just sent me that text. That's probably true as well.
So what I'm saying, like until Tom Brady went out and won 3 more Super Bowls, that he was almost more defined by what Eli did against him than what Eli did against Brady. Like the fact that Eli beat Brady twice was better for Eli.
Yeah, than it was for Brady. Yeah, whereas Brady, everything else Brady had done.
Brady was, well, he got to 5 Super Bowls, but he lost 2 of them.
Yeah, but that's like, but if you look at what you're talking about, Hall of Fame, and should have put somebody in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that was just because Brady has been Brady and the Patriots have been the gold standard forever. And when you knock off the gold standard, you know, the only two times you face them and you see what the Patriots have done, that puts you in the Hall of Fame. I think, but I agree with what Dan Patrick said with, you know, has he played too long? I mean, if he retired in 2015 or 16, this wouldn't even be a debate. I don't know. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. In my opinion, you know, I think he is a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer over, you know, Phillip Rivers. Rams fan Rob just said Dan Fouts with a question mark. Is Dan Fouts not in the Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
Really? I thought Dan Fouts had a heck of a career. Didn't he? I mean, that's a little before my time, but we're bringing up Dan Fouts here on the whim here. But what do we got?
He is in the Hall of Fame.
1993. Okay.
All right, then there you go, Rams fan Ralph. I thought he was in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Dan Fouts is one of the iconic quarterbacks of all time.
Wasn't the offense Air Coryell?
Oh, yeah, man. That was
They slung it.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, they were ahead of their time. That was a great, great team, great organization. So, but anyway, listen, the argument will be there. You know, people are going to say, well, whether he should or shouldn't, you know, be in the Hall of Fame. But I think in terms of the Giants organization, take all that away. It's time for this kid to have the job. Let him, you know, it's time to do it. It's just too bad the way this is going down for Eli, because a guy that revered in New York, a guy that's been in the helm for so long, deserves to walk away on his terms, but he's lost that opportunity because he's hung on too long, in my opinion.
Yeah. Can we just pass along the memo to the Giants to keep Saquon, like keep giving him touches? Because that's almost the most shocking thing from the first 2 weeks. They didn't give him the ball more.
No, I agree. And if you watch their drives, every time they score, they're giving. I mean, the first drive against Buffalo last week, they didn't throw the ball.
It was Saquon.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, that, I mean, and you can say that about the play calling and stuff. But again, you know, you pack the, you know, you what you're reading defensively, though, is defenses make adjustments and the Giants aren't good enough to, you know, to keep doing the same thing. I don't know.
Could you tell I have Saquon on my fantasy team?
Oh, yeah. Keep giving the ball to Saquon.
He may get better looks in the coming weeks because I'm guessing they will be moving more to a rollout play action style offense. And in those situations, typically the halfback is the guy who's the bottom level receiver on the rollout side.
And he's a dual threat quarterback. No one talks about Daniel Jones. He's a dual. I mean, he's a running quarterback.
He moves very comfortably.
Oh, yeah. The Giants have not. The Giant fans have not seen anything like this since maybe Jeff Hostetler did it when they won the Super Bowl against the Bills a few years ago, 20 years ago.
I've also heard rumors.
30?
Not 30 years ago. Is it 30 years ago that game? 89? What was the year? 90? Oh, my goodness. I am getting old.
That's so
depressing.
Am I.
That is depressing.
I've heard rumor there'll be RPOs run in that Giants offense now that Eli's out.
Sources?
I don't remember who, but sources, yes.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but it's going to be fun. And I'm just reading an article this morning that I guess practice has been a lot quicker. They've changed some things in terms of what they've done. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's just time. For you Patriot fans,
it's exciting
over here,
for you guys. I like that it's exciting.
Patriot fans over here, the little smirks on their face all the time. It's so good to be the Patriots, right? I mean, they just live in this little world up there. They're the greatest team in the history of anything. You know they're going to probably go undefeated this year with the way the NFL is.
Without Antonio Brown, I'll say...
Oh, come on.
I'll knock down the odds for going undefeated, but at least we got the moral high ground back now, so we got that going for us.
If there was ever a year that record could break, that somebody else could go undefeated, this is the year for New England. I mean, if you watch the NFL, and I want to talk about, maybe we'll talk about that at 11 o'clock, Tom Brady's tweets, and it just falls back on exactly what I've been saying for years about, you know, these leagues trying to change rules and doing all this stuff. Tom Brady's tweets were right with me. But the Patriots are in great shape, man. You guys, what's it like to get up every football season and know that your team is relevant?
Feels good.
It does. It must feel real good.
Relevant feels like a underhanded compliment.
Well, I mean, just saying, like a team that you know every game means something, you're going to be in it. You know what I mean?
I'd say most games don't mean anything because it just matters once we get to the new year.
Just go to break, jerk.
Get ready because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Today, buddy.
$80,000 worth of wigs were stolen from South Florida warehouse in a hair-raising robbery.
That's a lot of hair.
Who's got those? Get a good deal on those.
I'm sure the hair market is booming on eBay right now. Police in South Florida say thieves stole up to $80,000 in merchandise from a wig warehouse. The owner of Prime Trading Hair and Wigs told detectives in Miami Gardens that he was notified overnight on Tuesday that the alarm at the warehouse had been triggered. Owner The owner tells Miami television station WFOR that some of the products are worth up to $800 each.
Ooh.
He says the thieves appeared to know what they were doing and were in and out of the warehouse in less than 5 minutes. Video surveillance shows a truck backing up and ramming the warehouse's front door 3 times. The owner says he is insured for his losses. Could have been a hairy situation if he wasn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, stealing is obviously terrible, but, you know.
What are you going to do with that?
If they're worth that kind of money, I mean, you got to lock those up better.
But that sounds like that guy's like a wig wholesaler.
Could be.
I just that doesn't seem like a high value thing. Like, they have value.
Okay,
but
let me just say something.
It's a limited market.
Look at me.
I've never seen you in a wig.
These jokes are going to be so much better next week when we start being on video.
I could, if you got a little short, high and tight one, you know, that's like tight, you know, I wouldn't mind that. A little nice crop. I'm jealous of you two. You got two great heads
of
hair.
You don't need
there to
be a wig guy. You got to.
My wife says I got a good ball. I got a good
you
head.
Do.
If,
you do.
Anyone, if anyone is suited for the Chrome Dome, it's you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're very, very, very kind.
Like, I'm just thinking of all the stuff you could steal to try and turn a profit or do whatever you do with you stuff do that wigs. You steal. Like,
well, I mean, you got guys like me that are just like, you know, I mean, listen, I've never seen a wig except like at the Halloween store where that what I would want. But if you saw a wig that like worked, imagine if I like walked in and someone said, hey, man, I know you don't have any hair up there. Like, what do you take a look at this? I could put like Pauly D's hair on my head. I would be all in for that, man. I'd love it. You know what I mean? Like spiked it way up. I would love to be able to say I use
you
product.
Want options.
I want
you?
Product. I want to be able to say, oh, I got some product in there. The only product I have in here is lotion because I don't want it to get dry. You know
and
what I'm
burned.
Saying? Yeah, and burned.
You know what is kind of interesting about this? If this is real human hair, if these wigs are like by donation, this is a really easy product to trace back, like
DNA.
Because you just test the DNA, yeah, exactly.
But I don't think when you donate hair for wigs, you've been entered into a registry like it's where they have your information, like 23andMe or whatever.
I mean, that might be worth doing if you're a company that sells real hair wigs.
That would be a lot of money to spend, I would think, if you had to do DNA and all.
Yeah,
you
know, that's a cumbersome, expensive loss prevention system.
But maybe down the road, it'll
if
get
you want
cheaper.
Your DNA on somebody, I mean, you're not wearing it anymore. Do you want your hair?
Yeah, all of a sudden,
you know,
like
somebody does
that
something
guy
bad
commits a crime.
Exactly,
your hair's there.
Look, I swear
it gets
to God, traced I donated
back to
that.
You.
Exactly. Yeah, it may not be.
There's
smart.
A lot of ways that could go wrong.
Yeah. All right. That's some out in left field. As this conversation's been, I'm just saying. All right, kiddo, what do we got for sports update?
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Six five five 6672 is the number to call to join us today. 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Thanks for joining us this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Too bad we have to be inside.
Only for a little while, though. Only an
hour
noon.
To go. Look, 58 minutes to go.
And then we get to get outside in this beautiful day. It's going to be a nice day today. Beautiful weekend. Get out and enjoy it. I did notice the trees are starting to change. It's so funny, it's a beautiful time of year, the fall. I love it. You know, it's you know, the nights are cool. It's easy to sleep, and the days are. I mean, lately the fall days are really nice.
Last couple weeks have been
beautiful,
dynamite.
Right? But to me, like, if people are posting pictures, like, oh, I love this. Look at the foliage; it's great. But another couple weeks, all those leaves are going to be gone, and we're going to have cold weather. It's going to be winter again, and that's why I mean, like, I love the fall and I hate it at the same time because I know what comes right behind. The fall isn't long. It's not like summer and, you know, it like is a long, you have few months. Like, it's not like we have fall for 3 months where it's beautiful. No. We got fall for like 3 days. And then after that, it's cold again. Everything's dead and gross. And
that's why what you do is you intentionally work yourself into a denial about what comes next. You just pretend it's not coming. And then when it comes, you deal with it.
Maybe that's more good advice. So I'm learning how to dress in the weather by you. And I'm learning like philosophical things by you. So that's that's pretty good. The fact that I'm taking that kind of advice from both of you is a little bit rough for me, but that's, you know, that's...
We have certain areas of expertise. I don't know what you're saying.
Hey, Rams fan Ralph, he just keeps tweeting, texting at us here. He said, there's a difference for a running quarter... Let me start again. There's a difference in a running QB and a running for your life. Jones will be doing just that. Hey, man, I would disagree. I think one of the Giants' bright spots this year has been that offensive line. That offensive line has protected this season, and I think they've got the ability, and I think Daniel Jones is going to be in this offense, and that's what Shurmur wants to do, is going to roll him out. I think you're going to see a guy that can move the team with his arm and with his legs.
If Pat Shurmur is smart, which history has shown he is a relatively smart coach, he will be making rolling out of the pocket and getting mobile a part of the packages that Daniel Jones works with. Like that, he won't have to run for his life because he'll be moving towards the sideline the moment the play starts.
Yeah, it's those sort of like principles work across all sports. You get the other team moving a way they don't want to, it makes it easier for you to do certain things.
Very true.
That's why, Jeff, you have your teams cross from the outside, because it gets all of a sudden the defense has to adjust. It's why, you know, the centering feet across from one circle to the other in hockey, the one-timer, you can't defend when your back is turned.
Right.
It works.
Teams pushing the floor in basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I think the Giants are in a good position now. We'll see where it goes. Whether it's wins, whether it translates to wins quickly, it may not. But whether it changes their dynamic and their culture for the future, I think it's a great move. Hey, Tom Brady had some interesting tweets on Thursday night. one of them, I took too many penalties. Just let us play. I think he tweeted later in the night that I'm going to bed. I can't watch this stuff anymore. And basically that's what the NFL to me has become. I mean, we have taken this game, which is a dangerous game, we know. And we have a society now, and I've said this 1,000 times, that wants to fix every problem as quickly as they can fix it. So last year, the biggest issue in the NFL, remember the big no call against New Orleans. New Orleans and the Rams last year in the NFC Championship, a blatant no call was made in that pass interference call. So now we have a situation where we can fix that problem if that ever happens again. Takes the game out of the hands of the officials. Now we are protecting quarterbacks like crazy. There was an article in the New York Post this week that Tom Brady was hit on a clean hit and a Miami Dolphins player was reprimanded by the official. Hey, take it easy on Tommy. It was a clean hit. I mean, the NFL is becoming, you know, if you're a Patriot fan, you're loving life because you're the best team and that's it. But everything else is sloppy. I mean, it's become a sloppy league. It's hard to watch. If you're a fan of a team, a team that's an average team, it's almost unwatchable. I mean, just let this game be the game it is and let the guys figure it out and play. The bad calls are going to happen. And let's go back to the days when the NFL was special. I mean, in the 80s and the 90s, this was as good as it gets. And now we have a game that is, because of preseason rules and the guys aren't allowed to, coaches aren't allowed to work them as hard or hit. It's sloppy football coming out. To me, the product isn't very pretty right now, and I have no idea how it deals with ratings, but it's hard for me to watch anymore.
Well, it's definitely a problem, the officiating right now, and you don't have to be a quarterback with tenure like Tom Brady to be getting these calls that aren't deserved. What's his name? Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield took a hit from Jamal Adams that was entirely legal, and it was a penalty, and he got fined for it. It was like 0.2 seconds after he released the ball. Jamal Adams cleanly hit him to the ground on a blitz. That's what you do. And so it's like, that's a problem. But one of the big things with Thursday night was most of the calls were holding calls on offensive linemen. Here's the deal. Holding happens on nearly every play. You cannot always call it. You call it when it's egregious and when it's apparent. These guys were calling everything, and that it kills the game because you can't stop the game every three plays.
Do you find yourself, and I find it, so I have the football package at my house, and I got it.
Must
know,
be nice.
I got it years ago, you know, and you know, I'll stop it. I had to have it because sometimes if the Giants are on with the same day the Patriots are, I have to have it. That's why I get it. But anyway, you can't get it just one day. You got to have it. But long story, my point is, I used to, as soon as the Giants were done watching the team I wanted to watch, I couldn't wait to watch every other game. And that was back, like, I think I got it back in 2012 or 2011. Since then, once the game that I want to watch is over, I'm done. Like, I'm out. Like, I'm not watching Monday night games. I'm not watching Thursday night games. I'm not watching if the Giants play at 1, I want to watch. I'm not watching 4 o'clock games or vice versa. I mean, it's gotten to a point where it's not fun to watch. I mean, the game is it's not entertaining to me anymore. I feel like it's fundamentally poor. I feel like the officials have way too much influence in what happens. I just feel like it's not a fun product anymore. And I don't know if I'm the only one that feels that way. I don't watch a lot of football. I watch my team and that's it.
I watch the Patriots pretty much a la carte. And then I will occasionally watch the Sunday night game or parts of the Sunday night game, because that's usually the best, like teed up to be the best game of the week. And quite often it might be like, I'll watch some HBO and then catch the end of
you'll poke back. I mean, I'm not saying you don't check in, but you're not like locked in. I can't wait to watch these two teams play because it's gonna
right.
be sloppy.
I have other stuff I want to do with my life than watch football. But I think what you're like the the NFL is clearly trying to figure out a way to officiate a violent game to keep its most vulnerable players and most important players on the field as much as possible, because that is the single-handedly the thing that will keep the level of play high when there are a league with 32 starting quarterbacks and really only maybe a dozen of them are like worth it every week, a dozen to maybe 16. Maybe the top half are worth it. You got to keep those guys on the field, because if you go to the second string, there's a reason those guys are second string.
But why?
Because they're not as good.
But why was it?
And the product is less good.
But why is it different now? But why wasn't that a problem back in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s?
Because there was less stuff for people to watch. You'd get the numbers for ratings anyway.
I don't know about that.
Yes,
I don't know about that.
Yes, the way people
in the 90s, you didn't have other things you could watch.
The way people consume culture, whether it's television or anything else, certain things people can do, until the last maybe 8, 9, 10 years, they were held more hostage by the television set because you couldn't, like, on demand wasn't a thing. It was either on or it wasn't, and you would either miss it or you wouldn't. So now, when people have options beyond just live sports, and even live sports isn't live anymore when you can DVR it and come back and watch it and speed through the commercials, they have more options. You need to provide a better product. And right now, this early in the season, they are not striking that balance between protecting the most vulnerable players and calling too many penalties.
I would say Netflix, video games, and social media have made a considerable difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Like streaming services and video games and social media. Like, that's huge.
Well, but at the end of the day, the product has to be good. And it's not a good product. And I mean, so you're gonna benefit. I mean, I understand you want to keep your stars on the field.
That's the only reason you make those rule changes.
But if you love the sport and you love what it is, and a guy like me that does love the game of football is now turned off by this, I mean,
because they haven't found that balance.
But this is the reality of what we've done. Like, so now it's like we've got to protect. We can't have these guys get hurt, so we've got to make these rules be this ridiculous. We got to change. And I know you get mad when I bring up, we got to change baseball rules because it's too long. We got to change this because it's that. We got to do this because it's that. Why can't they just be what they are and you just go? I mean, that's what this sport is about. I've had it with the changing and the development of this stuff and the mentalities that we've ruined the football. We've ruined football for me in terms of what I want to watch. It's just not entertaining anymore. And the games are, and the talent isn't good. College football, and I'm not even a huge college football guy. I love college football because of the passion these kids bring every single day. You see passion, you see heart. You see, even when there's blowouts, you see two teams competing because they're playing for they're playing for their school and themselves. They're not playing for money and worrying about getting hurt. They're playing the game. That's why I love college basketball so much. It's so much better than the NBA. I mean, the NFL has to figure this out, that, you know, every mistake that happens the year before, or every problem that we have a quarterback that gets hurt because of a tough hit, or we have a bad call, you don't have to fix it immediately. It's part of the game, and the real fans aren't going to go anywhere.
Well, I agree with both of you. They haven't found the balance yet, and when they do, the safety rules will be good for the sport because they'll keep people on the field.
Yep.
But they're way farther off than they should be. That you should not be calling Jamal
Adams. Well, they're extreme,
Adams.
Right? They're extreme.
Yes.
They're just extreme. They went from one way to the other really quick.
They're trying to deter hits like Jamal Adams as much as possible.
But that hit's legal and safe. It's the helmet spearing and the going to the knees and ankles that's the problem.
But you were talking like fractions, like degrees of angles between that being a safe and unsafe hit or timing. Like, you're just trying to eliminate as many of those plays as you can.
But what you're doing is you're eliminating the ability of a team to be to be able to play defense. So it's basically, if you have the elite quarterback, which there isn't very many of them, you have the elite offensive line, the best wide receiver, and the good running back, I mean, you have all you need to win. You can't play defense anymore. You can't cover any. What kind of kid's going to want to go and be a pro now as a cornerback in the NFL? Like, what kid grows up now and says, oh, I can't wait to be a cornerback? You can't even play the position anymore.
A 5'10 kid who isn't good enough to be a wide receiver but has the speed to do it, so you do the other side of that?
Like, I mean, fair enough, but that's late in your career. You're not growing up in a situation being, I want to be a cornerback, because you can't even play your position anymore. You can't be a great defensive lineman. You can't be a great rusher anymore.
I don't think most cornerbacks specifically grow up wanting to be a cornerback. You want to have the ball. At some point, you're either not good enough with the ball or you don't have the measurables to be in that position. So that's why wide receivers are the 6'4 guys that can catch the ball, and by and large the defensive backs are the 5'11 guys who just can't quite, like, they're not as physically imposing and impressive.
But I guess my point is fine, okay, so you, but it, well, my what I'm saying is, there's really no, I mean, fine, you're going to have cornerbacks, and if you don't have great hands, they're going to put you in that position. But what I'm saying to you is it's making the game very, it's difficult to want to be that in that position because you can't, you're not going to, what, you're going to make your money? You want to be an NFL player and make your money? Who's, how many great cornerbacks are there going to be out there? There's like a handful of them now because you can't play the position with any physicality.
Well, you're seeing the trend of cornerbacks clawing for money as opposed to worrying about doing their job go up, because I think that is the problem. You have to be one of the four guys who doesn't have to hold on every play in order to get paid because the rules are so tight. So you're seeing guys like for example, for the Jaguars, what's his name? He's asking for a trade because he knows he's got his window. He's one of those four guys.
Patriot, he'll be a Patriot, right? He'll be a Patriot. A couple hours.
He can go get his money wherever he wants. But everybody else is just trying to stay alive at that position because of how tight those rules are right now.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you have a handful of guys that can do it elitely. Like Ramsey's a good example of that. Is one of the guys. We could probably
sort of like quarterback.
I agree with you. But when you don't allow these guys, when your defenses can't be physical, that's part of the game. And one of the things that I loved back in the mid '80s and the '90s was, you remember the '85 Bears? The '85 Bears couldn't be the '85 Bears anymore.
Not.
The '86 Giants, Lawrence Taylor couldn't be Lawrence Taylor. And we're not talking about hurting people. We're talking about these are physical, big, strong defenses that instilled their will on people. You don't have that anymore in the NFL. How many great defenses are there? There aren't. If you do have an inept offense, which is going to be a bad team, or you have a great offense and you're a good team, that's the difference. That's it. If you have an inept offense, you can't be successful. Simple. Because if you have a great defense and a bad offense, you can't win.
Patriots might be the closest to that great defense right now.
Agree. Probably. Yeah. But you're probably right. That's what I'm saying. It's the Patriots and there's everybody else.
You know who it's killing?
I love it when you say that.
It is.
It's killing defensive coordinators because when you call a man defense, it's a dice roll whether or not you're going to get a penalty on it. And when you call a blitz, your guy can't actually blitz. It's not a blitz. It's a blitz. Because he has to slow down and not touch the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play fast. And the league is now an offensive league. They want the points. They want to protect the quarterbacks, which is fine. Everybody should want to be protected. I'm not saying you don't want to protect people. But at the same time, you're never going to see, unless some things change, those 85 Bear defenses or those, you know, the 86 Giant defenses or, you know, pick the lace glass great defense. The Baltimore Ravens defense when Ray Lewis was there and Nada and those guys were in there. I mean, you're not going to see those. The Ed Reeds. You're not going to see those anymore because you can't play defense anymore. You either have an elite offense or you're terrible. Done. That's why when we talk about it being quick for teams to get better, this kid for the Giants, Daniel Jones, if he's what I think he is and what many do think he is, this is a football team could win a lot of games because they're going to outscore people if he does the job. I mean, that's what I'm saying. A team that's as inept as the Giants with a great quarterback and can score points can be successful in the NFL. Great defenses aren't there anymore. They just aren't because they're not allowed to be there.
And the rules, the way the game has been has developed, evolved, has phased out great defense because in the age of trying to get ratings, numbers, and money and eyeballs, when you have Netflix, Hulu,
the NFL is the number one sport in the world.
They've been changing for a reason because low scoring football, defensive football, subpar football, bad offense. There's a tangible thing.
There's a clear line
when they can look at those games and those trends and see numbers dipping. You need to try to like hang on. Otherwise, you're not going to be the NFL as long as you have been.
If the NFL right now is doing what they're doing based on the fact that they're worried about Netflix and Hulu and all these other options for people, then the NFL is going in the direction that I don't know if I can watch anymore because that's what the NFL is. The NFL, it's football. If you like football, you're going to watch. Football fans are going to watch it. They want it. They hunger for that. I think if you took a poll right now, people, do you want the old NFL back where defenses can be defenses, or do you want what you have now? You would want what you had then. I mean, Brady's text. I mean, it's Tom Brady, but his tweets are perfect. Like, this is unwatchable football. We have calls every time you drive. And some of the calls are so ridiculous. I mean, and you watch them, they're part of the rules. They're doing their job. But at the end of the day, if the NFL's worried about Hulu and Netflix, what are you doing? Like, let the game be the game. Let us fans just be our fans. So if the three of us are going to watch it, but this guy over here would rather watch a show on Netflix, go ahead. We're the NFL. Come watch. That's who we are. I don't know, man. Like, why you got to change this stuff? That's what makes sports so great. You know, and this is where you go to kind of get your, you know, watch your game, get away from things. So I don't want to be stressed out watching it. And now I'm stressed out. But not my boy Daniel Jones. I'm happy he's there. All right, we take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Red Sox baseball. Where do the Sox go from here? The defending world champions, rough year. Dave Dombrowski's been fired. I can't. That's just craziness. Before the season ends, we talk to our friend from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey, next. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We haven't even gotten to baseball yet, but we got to talk some baseball. I mean, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Red Sox have been eliminated from playoff potential here. It's been a crazy year for the defending champions, Austin. All this stuff happening. Obviously, the team never reached the levels that I think a lot of fans expected. I think everybody expected the Red Sox to have.
Yeah.
Dave Dombrowski's fired before the season's over. There's not a lot of talk about it from the front office, really, at all. I mean, from an organization that was like, you know, the organization for the last few years now seems to be in a bit of turmoil.
We were ready to be whelmed, and all we got was underwhelmed.
Ooh, look at you. And that's why you're a great writer. But who better to talk to about the Boston Red Sox than our good friend from The Athletic here joining us now on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, Jen McCaffrey. Good morning, Jen. What's happening today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
It's great to talk to you. It's been a little while. Interesting season in Boston. Where are we at here with this organization?
Good question. You know, obviously eliminated last night officially. I think, you know, we all saw that they were going to be eliminated for weeks, if not months, this season, just the way it was going. Just extremely disappointing from a lot of different sides. But, yeah, at this point, they're just kind of chugging away and looking towards next year. Who needs to get surgery? What off-season plans they need to revamp for some of these pitchers? You know, who's going to be the next GM? I mean, they have a lot of decisions to make, and that's not even counting a lot of these contracts and all the those situations that are going to be presented to the team. So, I mean, there's a lot to be done. This is going to be a really important off-season for this team, and just sort of I think it'll look a lot different, you know, from front office all the way to the team on the field, you know, in a little bit. So we'll definitely be seeing a different team pretty soon.
Jen, we talked numerous times about Dave Dombrowski before they won their championship last year about, you know, nobody seemed to talk about Dave Dombrowski in terms of what wasn't happening. Then they win the World Series. But when the Red Sox signed Dave Dombrowski, what did they think they were getting? You know, I mean, this is a guy that was with Detroit. You know, he built a team that could compete for a world championship, and that's kind of what he did with Boston. But then he's the fall guy like this after he wins a championship. I mean, what do you think pushed them to make that move?
Yeah, and I think, you know, another important thing kind of to note along those lines is I think the industry, you know, baseball executives in general are starting, you know, Boston has always been one, you know, Boston, New York, Chicago, the premier team to work for and be, you know, be affiliated with. And now it's, you know, Cerrington was out after kind of winning, you know, a World Series for that team. You know, Dombrowski's out after winning a World Series for that team. Even, you know, you can look back to Theo. So it's like, what's good enough? You know, nothing ever seems good enough, you know, for an ownership that's looking to win all the time. So I think that's going to factor in a lot to this GM search of what personality wants to take over a team that, you know, they realize they might not be here for, you know, a 10, 12-year stretch like a guy like Brian Cashman is in New York, where they haven't won, you know, in 10 years. They haven't won since 2009, but he's been there through thick and thin with them. So it's an interesting philosophy. I you know, you go from Cherrington to Dombrowski, where Cherrington was kind of sticking with his prospects for maybe a little too long, and Dombrowski kind of comes in and sells off a bunch of guys and wins, but then he's gone. So it's and ownership really hasn't come out and said what they're looking for. So I think we're all kind of a little bit, you know, in the dark here as to where this will go and you know why ultimately it happened and what they want really.
So even if the ownership isn't saying the why, if you had to infer what it is based on, you know, being around the team, I mean, is Dombrowski gone because of the results or how he was doing it?
So the other thing is, in talking with some of the people with the team, you know, there was this narrative too that he wasn't collaborative or, you know, didn't include people, and they say that's absolutely false and don't really know where that came from. You know, by all accounts, he was worked really closely with all those front office people and everybody kind of in scouting and analytics, and wasn't, you know, resistant to analytics. I think if it comes down to one thing, it had to have been something with, you know, John Henry and kind of the payroll and kind of managing the payroll and some of these contracts that he gave out, particularly maybe Evaldi and Sale, and maybe them not working out. And if obviously it's ultimately John Henry's money, and if, you know, maybe initially he wanted to get it done and trusted, you know, the judgment of Dombrowski, and even though he kind of signed off on it, you can still also sign off on, you know, making Dombrowski the fall guy for it all and kind of, you know, cleaning his hands of it. So that's the one thing that maybe you kind of can point to as a reason for maybe a change of direction. But I mean, those kind of decisions are going to have to be made by every GM. So I don't know, maybe it's time for ownership to maybe take a look at themselves and kind of how their process of evaluating people in their front office and things they say yes to and the whole process in general.
Hey, but you brought up John Henry and John Henry's money, which obviously funds the team. And it took my brain to this weird tangent that I somehow had never really thought of before. And maybe you can't even help. Maybe it's sort of beyond your purview. But has there ever been any discussion or sense of the Red Sox and how they operate and how that may or may not be affected by the Fenway Sports Properties' other holdings like Liverpool? Like if they start dumping money into Liverpool, or Liverpool starts, you know, making more money, is there any sense that, okay, it might flow both ways, or is it pretty siloed within that ownership structure?
They've always said that it's, you know, I'm not an accountant and I don't know, you know, all the financial structures, but from their side, you know, when they bought Liverpool and when, you know, there was kind of expansion and things like that over the years, and it's been brought up, you know, is anything you do with Liverpool affecting, you know, what you do with the Red Sox? And they've always said that it's completely, you know, everything is completely separate and has completely separate, you know, financial structures and whatnot. But that doesn't mean that maybe down the road he won't want to focus more on Liverpool and maybe even sell the Red Sox. I mean, you know, right now it doesn't really seem like something that's, you know, in the offing, but, you know, the soccer in the UK is a lot, you know, a really strong entity, and not that the Red Sox aren't, but maybe you get tired of one thing if you've been doing it for too long, and maybe you do decide to put all your money into that basket instead of divvy, you know, your separate structures. So, I mean, that's definitely something for the future that I'm sure will come up at some point. But right now, I don't see it happening. Then again, you know, a lot of things happen that they see. It's coming. So I guess we can't necessarily say for sure one way or another.
Jen, the way this went down, and with some big things happening, Mookie Betts' contract is coming up, J.D. Martinez can opt out. You know, obviously the Red Sox have been the Red Sox for a long time. They've been a team that, and meaning when I say that, I mean a team that's been one of the best in baseball. Players want to go there. Does this uneasiness of what happened with Dombrowski and the quiet, and we really have no idea why, is that a problem for maybe some stars that may want to come to Boston, or maybe a star or two that may be leaving Boston soon?
I think it just makes everyone realize, and that's what Mookie Betts even said the night that Dombrowski was fired, that ultimately this is a business. You know, it's not, you know, you can, you know, hug and, you know, high five and slap everybody on the back as much as you want, but it comes down to money and to business decisions, and, you know, it's a game, but it's a game that's, you know, a billion dollar industry. So, I mean, there's a lot of, it's just a cutthroat industry, and you know when things don't happen the way that you anticipate them to, or the way you plan for them to, someone takes the fall. And I think that most guys understand by this point that, you know, that's kind of how things work. It is a little, it did happen a little bit more, quickly or intensely, I guess, than you thought it might have for Dombrowski. I don't know that necessarily, you know, will prevent people from signing here players-wise anyway. I think on an executive level, it's just something that people in baseball are keeping note of, you know, you can win other places and stay there longer. And is it worth all the extra effort that goes into, to, you know, being in Boston? I think that's definitely something that's being discussed, you know, in inner circles, you know, across baseball of people that might be candidates for this job.
So let's look at this team's future now. Now, in the past few years, the Red Sox future was always bright. All these young players, all these guys, and all these kids on the farm. You just signed Chris Sale. All these things, all these great things were happening. But now, you know, what is the Red Sox future? I mean, what do fans look forward to next season? Or is this a team that may be starting to rebuild a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens this winter. You know, we've seen a lot of rumors of will they or won't they trade Mookie Betts, you know, heading into his final season before free agency. What will they, you know, Jackie Bradley's not far from free agency. What's going to happen with J.D. Martinez? I think if some of those guys end up getting moved, well, this might be a drastically different looking team. I mean, you're still going to have, you know, Devers and Benintendi and, you know, Bogarts and Sale and Price and, you know, all those guys. So it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to have every single guy be a new face. But it'll definitely be, you know, a change of pace than what you've seen for, you know, a pretty consistent core for the past few seasons. So, I mean, I think it'll really depend, I think, on if some of these guys sign deals or if some of them are traded or if they head into the season kind of on the trade block, you know, on the, you know, if they head into the season with relatively the same team, but with the eye towards, you know, we'll see how we're doing in July and if we need to trade Mookie in July or something along those lines. So I think, yeah, I think it's honestly going to depend on what the next GM or head of baseball ops decides to do with what's already here.
Thinking to the future, what is the first move you think they make, and what would be the first move you think they should make?
Well, I think they definitely need to. I mean, they'll definitely have to address the Mookie situation. I don't know if there's going to be any traction there, but I think the first thing they need to do is address the rotation. You know, you're going to be losing Rick Porcello in free agency and probably not re-signing him. Evaldi, Sale, and Price are all kind of coming off of injured years. So that's kind of a question mark in itself. And then the only other person you have is Eduardo Rodriguez. So I think you really need to make sure that you get, you know, a starter that's going to solidify things a little bit here and someone that's got a little longevity and maybe not, you know, an injury history that could compound things with some of the guys that we've seen here that have been dealing with some of these nagging injuries and reoccurring injuries. So I think that'll definitely be one of the top priorities. The Mookie thing is just so, you know, kind of up in the air. And same with JD. I mean, that situation's in his hands because it's a player option. He's the one that's going to decide if he wants to stay for the next year or not. So that's kind of up to him. And that'll actually be probably the first thing because that has to be decided. I think early November is when the deadline for that is. It's usually right after the World Series. So you'll know one way or another right after the World Series if JD is staying or not. And then I guess, you know, you can kind of decide what you want to do with Mookie after that. So it's going to be a lot of moving parts. You know, I think that the main thing is they need to make sure they get one of these GM or baseball ops, you know, executives in whatever they decide to call this position, if it's president of baseball operations like Dombrowski was or not. They need to get that sorted away first before any of these, you know, decisions are made.
Jen McCaffrey, you're the best. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
All right. The Athletics, Jen McCaffrey on the Red Sox. Again, you know, interesting stuff going on in Boston. I got to say, like, if you're Mookie Betts, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, the Red Sox are going to want to they're not going to want him to hit free agency. So it's going to be a situation where if they don't renegotiate his contract now, and if they do what Jen says, you wait and see how the team is. And in July, if you trade him, but man, I mean, if you're Mookie Betts, you're that kind of athlete, you're a perennial MVP. I mean, do you want to go through a season like that?
I don't know. I've never been in Mookie's shoes, so that's a tough one. It's just so striking the difference between a year ago, best team in baseball. Now, nothing but questions. I don't think anybody would have predicted that.
Well, and I think that, you know, the Dombrowski thing, and like she mentioned about, you know, the Yankees' consistency with Brian Cashman, and you build through things. I mean, now you're going to bring in a whole new mentality. You know, there's a lot of question marks there. And yeah, I mean, I'm not, you want to play in Boston. It's one of the biggest markets in sports, and the Red Sox are a perennial winner. But I mean, it just, there's so much uneasiness. I feel like this is like pre-2004 Boston. You know, before they won championship, there just seems to be an uneasiness. There's not, a, you know, we still don't know why Dombrowski was let go. We haven't heard anything from anybody. The ownership wasn't out in front of it. There just seems to be some uneasiness. And right now, where the Red Sox are as an organization in terms of wins and losses, it's uncomfortable. But there's a lot of talent on that roster, a lot of good young talent on that roster. I think what you saw to Devers this year, I mean, he took a big step forward. You expect him to be even better next year. Bogarts is great. You know, Benintendi's a great player. And Mookie's on that roster. And we'll see what JD does. But team on paper looks pretty good, but they do have some holes to fill. They don't have a lot of guys to trade anymore. They're going to have to spend some money if they want to do it. And I'm not sure the Red Sox want to do that.
Yeah. it sounds like what she said. I mean, yeah. It sounds like John Henry might be rethinking
how
they're spending their money. And what is this when Billy Beane comes back in the picture?
Yeah. Or you got to get a hold of Theo and say, we need you back. I mean, but it sounds like Charrington was the guy that did it the Theo way.
Right.
Which was build from within. You sign the right guys. You find the right guys chemistry wise to win championships, which is kind of where baseball is. Dombrowski's old school. I'm signing Sale. I'm signing Eovaldi. I'm signing J.D. Martinez. I'm going to spend a lot of money. We're going to trade some of these guys away to win a championship. Hey, man, you know, it felt good last year. But where are you now? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Interesting story in Boston, but they'll be fine. I'm sure they'll be fine. Everybody in Boston's fine. What a difference a decade makes, too, by the way. Huh? A couple decades ago, Boston was nobody could win in Boston. Now everybody wins in Boston. You guys are lucky. So lucky.
Hey, I can't, help it.
Yankees,
can't help it.
But my Yankees are AL East champions, so take that. All right, when we come back, we talk hot or not. Don't go anywhere.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
All right, when Nelly starts to play, Aaron starts to read. What do we got today, buddy?
This is Hot or Not, thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They will not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. There's no box mix here. Make your day superb.
And I'm going to tell you something. I had a cupcake from there the other day, and they are insane. I'm just saying, if you're looking for a treat for yourself today, it's a beautiful day, 80 degrees.
Wouldn't mind if you got a treat for us in here.
Well,
but
maybe next week. Maybe. Yeah. Well, if you're nice, maybe next week I'll bring in.
When am I not
cookies.
Nice?
That's a good point.
You know what would
well,
be?
I mean, you normally you kind of dig me a little bit about the Giants, well, and you know, the hits, and you know, yeah, I'm just saying.
Soft target, sorry.
It's a little bit of producing on the air, but it would be cool for our first week live streaming to have our sponsor's product on the screen.
That's a brilliant idea. That's right. Next week, people can see us on screen. Is that true?
That is true.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get cleaning up a little
bit. Buyer beware, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Listen, maybe eat breakfast after. I'm just saying. All right, what do you got today?
Antonio Brown will never play another NFL game.
Wow. I mean, if this stuff sticks hot, I mean, I think there's a chance of that. I can't imagine a team right now just PR-wise with the way we are social media-wise and anybody would even roll the dice on this guy right now. And you know what? He's proven that he can't. I mean, first of all, the stuff he did in Oakland is just terrible. I mean, he forced his way out. The way he treated that organization is terrible. On top of everything else now, he's become untouchable. You know, and it's sad for a guy with that kind of talent, a guy with that kind of game that this is where we're at with him. So I would be shocked. So I'm going to say I don't think he signs anywhere.
It's such a dicey point in his career, too. He's 31 years old.
Right.
He clearly still has, like, as we saw last week, there's talent. Like, that talent hasn't gone anywhere. He doesn't look like much less of a receiver. So, if you say nobody picks him up this season, he's 32 next year.
Oh, yeah.
32-year-old receiver is a little different than a 31-year-old receiver. And if this situation off the field isn't resolved, he might still be untouchable. I really don't know. It's so precarious.
It's bizarre.
Well, speed was never the crux of his game. He's a very good route runner, has great hands, and
but
that's
he is
sort
speedy.
Of, he is speedy, but he's never needed that. With that being said, still, when you start to get into the mid-30s, things get ugly, and it could be a while before this gets resolved.
But let me say this about the NFL. We know that coaches' jobs are on the line if they don't win. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I mean. You got an organization. You pick a couple out. You know, Buffalo is one that Jan called in and used. I think the Cowboys are a team that need to win right now. There's a handful of teams in the NFL that need to win, and if they might, you know, you sell your soul sometimes to get a victory to save yourself. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. But I'd be shocked if anybody signed him.
Yeah. I think you just said Cowboys.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be interesting.
I mean, I can see. I mean, he's. I mean, that's. And again, Jason Garrett needs to win. I mean, I think Jones realizes this year this could be his best chance to get to a Super Bowl.
And
you know,
as an organization, they haven't like necessarily always done the right thing.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So
they're not overly concerned about having hated players on their team.
But I will say, I mean, you bring him in. This is off the top, right? But you don't think he's going to be a Cowboy. But if you bring him in with a young quarterback in Dak that's trying to figure it out, you know, Dak wants to get paid as well. Obviously, I mean, you know, that. We know if it doesn't go well for Antonio Brown, what happens? I mean, we saw what happened in Pittsburgh, right. And now we saw what happened in Oakland. I mean, it may not be the best match, but you look at an organization like the Cowboys that really needs to win, you could think, man, maybe we just roll the dice here.
Imagine him and Jerry Jones having to work together. How crazy that could get.
You talk about a nightmare in the NFC for me.
That's a lot of content in Dallas, though.
Those writers would just be like, here we go.
Yep.
Speaking of interesting personalities, Gardner Minshew is the Jags quarterback of the future.
Thursday night was promising.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, there was a lot to like there. And how long's Foles going to be out?
He's out for a while.
I think it's like 6 weeks at least.
This could be one of those, if he just keeps doing what he did.
This is a Tom Brady moment, like with Drew Bledsoe.
I hope so.
That would, yeah, and he's entertaining, so yeah. I'm sure, but like, ride it. Go for it.
I mean, hey, man, I'm going to say not just because I think it's 1 week, and you got to see this kid a little bit, but you know what? The Jaguars needed something good to happen for them. This kid brought it. I mean, with all the bad energy coming out of Jacksonville last few weeks with the fight with the coach and Ramsey on the sideline, Ramsey wanting to leave, he comes out and leads his team to a victory against a very good Tennessee Titans team, by the way, folks. I thought Tennessee was going to, you know, especially with their opening game win at Cleveland, you thought they were the real deal. A good win for Jacksonville. The defense looked fast again. And again, you got some energy from a quarterback. Wow, energy from a quarterback. It's amazing what it can do for a team.
He's entertaining. He's not, at this point, problematic. He's got a lot of competitive spirit. And so far, his football skills seem to be there. I hope he is the answer for the Jags, because I would love to watch him be what he was on Thursday for the next 10 years.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. We know that in the NFL, so we'll see.
Daniel Jones is ready to be the franchise quarterback for New York.
Jeff, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, hot, hot, hot. I mean, you can't get any hotter than that. I think it's time. I think if you draft him number 6 and you have a team like the Giants have, you got to see your future when you can. This is the time to do it. I think it would have been better to do it from week 1. I mean, we're in week 3 here. What's the point? Might as well start this thing week 1. But great, great preseason for him. I know it's preseason against 2s and 3s, but he was composed in the pocket, made all the throws, smart kid. I think it's time. I'm looking forward to watching Giants football this weekend.
Oh, is he ready? We find out. I can't say he is right now because we don't know. I mean, he the signs were there that he could be in preseason. I obviously everyone hopes he is, but is he ready? We have to wait and see. I can't say I'm hot on it yet.
He's got the athleticism. He's got the confidence. Does he have the skills is now the final question. But either way, they're going to be more interesting to watch than they have been so far this season than they were in the last couple of seasons, in my opinion. But is he the quarterback of the future yet? I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe me saying, yeah, I think he's a franchise quarterback. We don't know. Nope, I mean, who knows?
Go you got to see him play. You drafted him to be.
But I think the answer, I think, so to say, yeah, who knows? But I think, is he the right guy to start this week, and is the team ready for him? Yes, no question about it. Let's go.
And so I have a little bit of logic I heard this week that proves your stance that they should have started in week 1. The idea, I forget who said it, but it was that it's like almost like a false equivalency when you say, or I forget what the thing is. You got a quarterback, you draft him, you wait a year, you play him. He's good. Okay. That almost proves that. But to not start him, and then he's like, if he was never the guy right away, he was never going to be the guy anyway. So you might as well just start him from the top.
But that's where the Giants, with the respect to Eli Manning, that's the point. Like the organization, you know, the organization we talked about earlier is getting bashed for the way they've handled Eli Manning. Like they basically handled Eli Manning with kid gloves. It's like, You know, we tell you what you want to your face, but we want you to play. Like, get out there, go get them, buddy. But it's like, it's time to move on. I mean, that's where the Giants, they've been coddling Eli for a long time. It's just time to do this now. Yeah. And I think it's going to be exciting.
Waiting
to
find out if Daniel Jones is that guy doesn't necessarily make sense.
So. Exactly.
They've babied Eli plenty. All right. Colin Cowherd has a take for us today.
Ooh.
I'll just let it play.
Sounds good.
Baker's not even a good NFL quarterback yet. So Joe Thomas is like, yeah, it's kind of disturbing. It's not unpredictable. Rookie head coach, tougher defenses, 13 commercials, 9 magazine articles, getting into fights with talk show hosts that America loves, me, that's outrageous. And he didn't get married, and I think marriage is cool, but I would have said if I was him to all these commercials, because I'm already making a fortune, I was like, you know, a top pick, I've already got millions, I would have said, I got to be honest with you, I'm getting married, and it's a really important thing for my life, and my wife's amazing, and I have to invite 350 people, and the only routes I'm going to be running this year are going to be between the florist and the caterer.
He is not a good quarterback yet. That was the important part that Colin said.
I got it.
Someone cut that a little funny. I didn't listen to it beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, Baker Mayfield right now is, I wouldn't say he's not a good NFL quarterback. I think he's, you know, he's a young kid that had a lot of success last year with a lot of expectation. And I think the way Cleveland has been portrayed, I think Baker showed his age a little bit. He's a young guy, very impressionable, very passionate. He's got an opinion about everything. So he's kind of like a lightning rod. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a good NFL quarterback. He's not an elite one yet. He's got a ways to go.
Yeah, you think he has the makings of one?
Oh, of course.
But yeah, not yet, no. Yeah, that could change this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. He goes out this week and goes, you know, throws for 400 yards and has 3 touchdowns. He's the greatest of all time.
A light just came on over my head.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right? This room is weird.
You look heavenly now.
It gets cold and it gets hot and the lights start coming on. Yeah, I'm telling you. This place is haunted. This is like a haunted house, this whole building.
I'm sort of shook right now.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe you were right. I mean, the light came on. Like, there it is.
Okay, cool.
Baker Mayfield still has to prove he's a good quarterback. I think last year wasn't enough, and this year's been a rough start. But like Austin said, I think what you see when you watch him play all points to him being a good quarterback.
But you're going
to
see a lot about who he is as a leader and a quarterback if this doesn't go the way they need it to go in Cleveland. Because with Odell Beckham Jr.'s personality, Jarvis Landry's personality, and the head coach is a tough guy. This is this is a tough guy in their head coaching kitchens. If things don't go well, we're going to find out about his leadership, because so far what I've seen out of him is he's a lightning rod. He's not afraid to say anything. In terms of Colin Cowherd, they don't like each other. So, you know, Colin's always going to have that opinion.
Right.
Domingo Germán is a crippling loss for the Yankees.
I'm going to say red hot. I mean, it's a selfish move by Domingo Germán. If you don't know him, Domingo Germán has been maybe the Yankees' best pitcher most of the season. He was being moved to the bullpen, obviously, with the bringing back of Severino. He physically struck his wife in public and got seen, and now he's been suspended. The Yankees suspended him for the playoffs, and Major League Baseball hasn't come down what they're going to do yet. The reality here is he made a selfish decision, and it will affect this Yankee team. A Yankee team that needs pitching, especially when you're going to face the teams you're going to face in the AL, we'll see. Now, the Yankees have proven all year to be resilient to injuries and problems, so I'm going to say the Yankees will be resilient to this, but losing Domingo Germán in this rotation and in this bullpen is a big blow for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, you can't lose your best pitcher and hope to be exactly the same.
It's true.
So, yeah, I'm right there with you, red hot.
All right.
That's hot or not.
All right, hot or not this week. Check out the cupcakes at Superb Cupcakes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
One of the real cool things about the realignment of what they did in high school sports, where, you know, golf is now in the spring, is we added a sport called bass fishing. Golf is in the fall. I mean, yeah, from the spring to the fall.
Yep.
And now we have in the fall, so bass fishing is now a sport at high schools. I know it's at Colchester and the kids are really excited about it, but we have a meet today, right?
Yeah, there's a tournament going on Lake Champlain up in South Hero. They are having the weigh-in, so like they're out fishing now.
Yeah.
They come in to weigh the fish at 2 p.m. The former Essex High School athletic director Jeff Goodrich just sent me a video of the action as it looked this morning. Looked pretty early where the sun is in the sky.
Yeah, you want to catch fish, you got to get up early.
But
buddy,
what a day to be outside.
You're not kidding. Beautiful day. And there's nothing better than fishing. I picked up fishing a few years ago for the first time. I mean, there's things that I wear gloves when I do, because I don't know what fish bite or if they have spines and stuff. So I'm not the coolest fish, but fishing is unbelievable. Now that they got a sport to do it, I think it's great for kids.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's an interesting option for fall sports.
Hey, the Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, Vermont. Phone number 802-651-9299. Go see my buddy Chris Wallace. If you have any kind of car problem there, an environmentally friendly garage, taking care of the environment and taking care of your car. That's Chris Wallace in Green City Garage. The Green City Garage poll question today was, did the Giants make the right decision to move on from Eli Manning? What is the answer, Aaron?
90% said yes.
Yeah, 90% said yes. I mean, the people think it's time for the Giants to move on.
How many times did you vote, Jeff?
13 times. Okay. So most of it's probably me. But hey. Hey, listen. What a week it's been. We had some nice talk today about the Giants. Daniel Jones tomorrow. It's a big day for the New York Giants. The Patriots, you know, got to play the Jets tomorrow. Just keeps on rolling for the New England Patriots.
I mean, we're going to try.
Yeah.
You know. Do your job.
just do your job. Just get it done. Yankees have made the playoffs. Is it really important for the Yankees to have the home field through this?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, the Yankees are in this precarious situation where they've locked up the AL East. They've got all these injury issues, but they're competing with Houston for the number one record. So it'd be like if the Yankees do make the AL championship, the American League ALCS, they'd have home field at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees are in this tough spot. It's like, what do you do? We didn't get to that today. I had it on our list, but.
I don't know. You just get healthy and go, right? Yeah, I just have such a hard time thinking home field is that big a deal when you're professional athletes. You fly private. You stay in the best accommodations. Everything is set up for you to succeed at the optimum possible level. I have a hard time unless it's, yeah. Just go win baseball games.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's right. Where if you're the Yankees today, you just get yourself healthy, give your guys rest, get them ready for the playoffs. And if you got to go play Houston in the ALCS, that's where you go. I mean, it's just that. That's just the reality of it. I mean, baseball is top heavy as well. There's a lot of bad teams. Houston's schedule is cupcake the rest of the way. The Yankees have some battles in there. I say just roll it. Just let the guys rest and go play. All right, guys, you're looking for something to do, keep it here all day on 101.3 The Game. Coverage at 6:10 tonight. Get your Sox in Tampa Bay on Sunday. Sox in Tampa Bay again. Coverage starts at 12:10, and then you got the football game tomorrow, 7:30. The Rams at Cleveland on the big station here at 101.3 The Game. And if you want to listen to the Yankees this afternoon on WVMT, 12:25 is Toronto and the Yankees. I'm Jeff. He's Austin. He's Aaron. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Enjoy this beautiful day. Get out there and root on those young kids this week. Big soccer games this week and girls soccer, boys soccer, field hockey. Everything's going on. Get out and root those kids on. Local sports is where it's at. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you soon.